There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hi, friends, and Happy New Year. This is the first episode of WCN for 2025, so glad to be able to host this episode. And today I'm welcoming author Bill Derrick. The book is Restored by the Storm, Navigating Through Life's Unexpected Challenges. And as we get into this conversation, you're going to get the full, and I'm going to say this, Bill, I bet this is going to resonate with a good many people today, because they either have someone in their immediate family, or perhaps even they themselves have gone through a bout with cancer. It's everywhere today. But before we welcome Bill to the show, just want to say that this book is a prime example, friends, of great storytelling. Great storytelling. I don't say that lightly. It's a very engaging book. You can probably read it in 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours or so. But it's a personal story. And those are always the most engaging for me, are those that are telling some story, the ups and the downs and all of that. So Bill is a business leader. In fact, is Bill, are you still running Derrick Construction? Or have you turned
still,
that over?
Yes, I'm still one of the leaders, yes.
Okay, well, thank you for joining me today on this episode of WCN.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike. It's a pleasure being here.
Yes. Now, you're up, you're actually in Wisconsin. You and your wife and family live in Wisconsin, not far from the Twin Cities.
That is correct. Western Wisconsin, just across the river from the Twin Cities.
Yes. So you're up there where it gets a lot of snow and it's very cold.
I would say we're in an area that gets very cold and sometimes gets a lot of snow.
Yes. Well, Restored by the Storm is your story of your journey through cancer. And I'll let you tell that story as we work through this conversation. That's one of those things that it's never expected. It's always an unexpected thing. And boy, when it hits you, when you hear that, it caused you to take a step back, and I'm sure that was the case for you. How about telling us about that?
Well, when I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a non-curable blood cancer, treatable but non-curable, people still die of it all the time. When I was 2013, when I was diagnosed with it, actually, we'd just come out of like 5 years of bad business with the Great Recession. And I learned a lot of things about myself, about business, about bankers, about God during that time. And I talk about in Restored by the Storm about how I believe that God prepared me during that Great Recession for the storm that was ahead of me that I didn't know about. So when I was diagnosed and we got the diagnosis from the doctor, I think both Jeannie and I both looked at each other and looked at the doctor and said, okay, we got another storm ahead. We got this. I mean, it was a, you know, yes, it, you know, and of course, in the course of diagnosis, you're doing tests ahead of time before they finalize. So you already kind of know where they're going. They just, on that day, they just make it official. So my feeling was that I just was going to depend on God, and I wasn't sure where he was going to take it. I'm not sure if I ever was fearful that I was going to die prematurely because of this, but because I just had that gritty attitude, that positive attitude and a deep faith in God that somehow I was going to get through it. But that's kind of where I stood in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned that recession. I remember it well. It teaches you a little bit about yourself and how you deal with adversity, doesn't it?
It sure does. I, you know, and it just kind of, in so many words, your character, people's characters come out, not during the good times, but it's during the hard times when you're suffering. And it was tough. I mean, there was some crying, there was, you know, some tears, and there was four of us in the business leading the business, and we all probably experienced it differently. And as I tell my partners, who three of them were my brothers, or two of them were my brothers, we all experience it differently. And what I wrote down in Restored by the Storm is my perception of what happened and what I learned from it. And I learned very quickly that when you're the leader, people look to you during tough times, and they look to see how you're handling the adversity. And if you show that you're scared, that you're don't have a plan to get through this, your employees are going to start to wonder if it's time to jump ship.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. So in your book, my thinking is that you believe through that reset, it was really hard on your business. Cause you were with both in commercial construction as well as residential,
and also land development, Mike. And that was probably the biggest thing for us, was they had all this land that we were going to develop. And of course it was highly leveraged by several banks.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that you mentioned in your book too, Bill, is that you learned that, your faith is more than just a head thing. It has to be a heart thing too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I get asked this question a lot. And very first, what I would call keynote speech that I gave was back in 2016, just after I had a stem cell transplant, about 65, 70 days after that. I had no hair, you know, I was frail, but I flew down to Dallas to give a keynote speech to an organization that I was part of. And I started the speech by saying, this is my story of how my faith has gone from my head to my heart. And in a way, when I said that, Mike, I kind of paused and just kind of thought, what did I just say? But yet that's what happened during this time. And I was a Christian. I was a Christian man. But I got this side of my brain that's very logical and tends to control things. And I just always believed that God gave me the gift of leadership, of knowledge, of being able to figure these things out. And so a lot of the times it was, okay, this is what we got to do. Step aside, God, I've got this. And it was just made a lot of sense to me. And it wasn't until the Great Recession and then later on with the diagnosis that I realized I had to step aside. And I was still a leader, but a good leader knows that he has to depend on others, and especially if you're a Christian, that you need to depend on your Lord too.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good point, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, Bill. It was your doctor that suggested, hey, you need to delegate. You need to delegate some things. I mean, that's popular in leadership courses and books and, you know, mentoring and all of that. You give people responsibilities to see how they're going to react and respond. But this was for you. It was like, no, I got to do this because I'm not going to be available.
Yeah, it's funny how I remember when we finally decided we were going to do this stem cell transplant, and basically we had about 3 weeks to plan and get ready for it, and I basically wrote this document like I would that said while I'm gone, and it just had a list. I tried to list out as many things as I could think of that needed to be taken care of while I was gone, routine things, that type of thing. And you know, Mike, it's funny. I was gone for 4 months, and the business didn't skip a beat. And it was still there when I got back and was doing well. The commercial business, in fact, had its best year ever in 2016. So it's amazing how we learn these lessons that, you know, during these times.
Yeah. And that's a testament, I think, Bill, to your leadership, having the right people in the right places, because every leader should hope for that, that if something, for whatever reason, they're not available for a minute. And I have told the council of the ecclesia that I pastor and the elders, the assistant pastor, if something should ever happen to me, if the Lord should take me home unexpectedly, things around here should not miss a beat. We should have things in place already. Everybody knows what the goal is, what the plan is, how we operate, who we are as an ecclesia. Whether I'm here or not, nothing should change except the face that's up there behind the pulpit.
Yeah, and that right person, right people, right seat on the bus is just very basic leadership principles.
Yeah.
Now, what happens to some leaders is they do a very good job of that, but then they forget that part of being a leader is letting these right people in the right seats do their job without interference.
Yeah.
Guidance, yes, we can guide, but don't interfere in the job and the responsibilities that you've given them. And that's that control thing, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Leadership courses and leadership and instructors always talking about empowering people to do the work. You know, it's much easier said than done for some folks. We can empower them and train them up, bring them up, but now we got to let them do it without interference. I think there's where the issue comes in sometimes.
Well, human nature, and a lot of leaders, we have to learn this, that especially a company that you've grown, you know, took it from a small company to a larger company to a larger company, it's hard to realize that other people can do just as good a job as you can. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to say, there's no one out there that can do the job as good as I can do it. And part of that is we got to understand that maybe they won't do it quite the way that you would do it as a leader or the way that you used to do it, but maybe they can do a better job doing it a different way. Mm-hmm. If you just allow them the space to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And in a sense, I think that's one aspect of our faith that grows. We often think of our faith growing, I mean, restored by the storm, going through tough times, will be transformational. I see that right there. on the screen. Our faith needs to grow in that area as we trust God that he's already taken care of this. Our situation, our circumstances, yours, didn't surprise God. It didn't take him, wasn't unexpected. Yep. But he's looking for us then to lean on him, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, I think of a couple things right away is, you know, the apostles are in the boat during a raging storm, and their Lord is right there. He's asleep. He knows what's going on. He knows the situation. And yet there's these fearful future leaders of the church there that are like, oh my gosh, do something, you know. Well, you know, it's let the leader in the boat, the Lord, he knew what was going on. And we just need to turn to him. You know, during disasters and tough times, people will ask the question, well, where's God? Mm-hmm. Well, God's there. The question is where are we?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. Are we depending on him? Are we trusting in him? Are we believing in him? And so this, especially the last couple of chapters, Bill, I really enjoyed because you give a day by day, procedure by procedure, of what your day was like when you were at the Mayo. And the reason why I enjoyed that reading so much is that my wife Kathy was healed early last year of ovarian cancer. And when we received that news, it was, you know, quite an unexpected surprise. And
what a blessing.
Well, yes, that she was, yes. And so the reason that I liked the last couple of chapters where you detail everything, right down to the port. Port being put in and the lines and that whole process extracting stem cells and all of that took me back to those days when Kathy and I would make the trip down to the James Cancer Center in Columbus, Ohio, and she would go through the processes that she did, and I'm reminded of just how present God is in those times. And perhaps, and I'll let you judge if this is a fair statement, sometimes it takes these kinds of storms to get people's attention and to verify without any shadow of a doubt from that point forward that God is there with you and he will walk with you through every storm.
Yeah, I'd verify that. I mean, I talk about early on in Restored by the Storm about going into the business downturn, about it was like being hit over the head with a 2x4, to use a construction term. Mm-hmm. And he got my attention. Now, it was going to be a longer period of time than I wanted it to be. To hone me and mold me the way he wanted me to be. But he got my attention. And then during this whole situation with the cancer and all that, I mean, you get poked and prodded so many places. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of, you know, I thought it'd be kind of fun to put a notch on every MRI and CAT scan machine, PET scan machine at Mayo Clinic that I'd been in, because I'm sure I was in a few of them more than once.
Yeah.
And and during those times, you know, I know there's a lot of people that will listen to this and think I'm nuts, but I'm one of those people that when I'm in the MRI tube, I'm actually quite relaxed. I really don't have an issue with all the thumping and everything else that's going on. I'm obviously not claustrophobic. And in fact, I was telling somebody this the other day about it. And And I said, I remember one long MRI I had that was over an hour. During it, the mic came on and said, "Mr. Derrick." And I go, "Yes." They said, "Are you asleep?" And I said, "Not sure. I might have dozed off." And they said, "We don't want you to fall asleep. We just want you to be relaxed." So my point is, though, when I was in there, there's not much else to do than to think about what is going on, about what has transpired, about what might happen, and bringing God into that time is, I don't want to say easy to do, but it almost seems normal to do.
Yeah.
Because you're with him by yourself. So.
Yeah. I remember a dear pastor friend of mine down in Cincinnati, a couple of hours south of me. We were very close. I would confide in him, he and me, and he came down with cancer, and it took him pretty quick. And I remember the last conversation that I had with him. He showed the visible signs, loss of weight, and all of those things. And I asked him, I said, "So how are you? How's your heart, brother? How's your mind? What do you?" He said, "Mike, this has been such a blessing to me, because I would never have known the presence and the love and the embrace of God like I have during this season if I hadn't have been diagnosed with this." And I tell you the truth, Bill, I was a little bit taken aback, but after a few moments, it made sense to me that when you're in this unexpected storm and you turn to the Lord, that's exactly what he is wanting. And he will embrace you with such a peace and a comfort that it's hard to explain if you haven't been through that.
Mm-hmm. It is. that's why, on my website, it said going through tough times will be transformational. It will be. The question is, will it be for the better? And I was determined it was going to be for the better in all ways. And I'm not sure I knew that early on that I'd be able to say to people afterwards that, "Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm not happy I have cancer, especially a non-curable cancer." So that's not the point.
Yeah.
But the point is, I have been so blessed because of the cancer. And because people say, "Well, if you had to do it all over again," I said, "Well, none of us want hard times or sickness or illness."
Right.
But I think I want the closeness with God that I have now versus where I was at before.
Yes.
And I think that when it's all said and done, I have this feeling of contentment. And I think you get that by trusting in God.
Yes.
And I'm not perfect. I'm still broken in a lot of ways. I still need God's grace and salvation and, all the time.
Yeah.
But he's allowed me to have this peace that even when things aren't going the way I want them to use a term that an old friend of mine used, I don't get wrapped around the axle like I used to. And I just kind of say, "Okay, we got to get through this one way or another," but I'm not going to get anxious. God tells us, don't be anxious.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that my wife was blessed with as she went through that and after she was healed is that the Lord sent her people that ask a lot of questions, and really what they wanted to be encouraged. And Kathy was able to do that. And I know you're a public speaker. You've been able to encourage many, many people based on your experiences restored by the storm. And I don't know how many would come up to you after you've delivered a speech. But I imagine there's been a few since then, hasn't there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Probably one of the blessings of speaking in public and having the courage, and I get that courage from my God, from Lord Jesus, to get up in front, even if it's a business group, and to talk about my faith. I find out that it's kind of like crossing the Rubicon, you know? Mm-hmm. I find out that by crossing the Rubicon, there's a lot of people there that really want to hear what you're talking about. And so after I'm done speaking, I'm amazed at the number of people that will come up to me and just, even if they say, "That was really good. Thanks for what your message." All right. Or, "It's great to hear a business leader get up and talk about his faith." Yes. Or, you know, all sorts of things. And people might ask other questions. As word gets around, I've had a number of people that want to talk to myself or my wife, Jeannie, by saying, "I've got a brother," or "I've got an uncle," or "My dad," or "Somebody was just diagnosed with multiple myeloma. You know, what would be some advice, you know, for that?" And, you know, real practical things. And, you know, but that, these kind of stories that are woven in our hearts because of our experiences, if you allow God to use them, he can use you and those stories to help others. And that is just so gratifying to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, it is. And as I'm listening to you, Bill, I'm reminded of the Lord saying that the fields are ripe for harvest. And when we hear that, generally speaking, we see that just as the call for believers to evangelize, to share the gospel with other people. But it occurred to me just this moment that, well, there are different fields. There are fields that some of us will never be able to go in and to bring out of that field a harvest. And one of them is business leadership. But you can do that because the Lord has formed within you that aptitude, the knowledge that's required, a proven track record. And so people in the business world are going to listen to you and to your testimony. And I think that's a great application of this book, Restored by the Storm. Folks navigating through life's unexpected challenges, there's no way that you can prepare to experience anything like, Bill, what you've been through and countless others. But what matters most is how do you respond? And that's going to come out of who you are, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. What is our response? I had an employee that since is retired. I remember when I was going through all this. One day he grabbed me as I was going by his office, and he said, "Hey, Bill." And I said, "Yeah, Mark, what can I do for you?" And he said, "I just got to tell you." He said, you're inspirational. And I said, "How so?" And he goes, "With all you're going through, I mean, the trips you make to Mayo Clinic all the time and all the tests you're getting and, you know, chemotherapy, all this stuff." And he said, your attitude is just great. And I go, "Well, what choice do I have?" And he goes, "Well, you have a choice. You know, you can have a bad attitude about it, but you wouldn't be inspiring anybody or, you know, asking for everybody's sympathy and all that." He said, "No, you know, you just keep your head up and onward. And it's just, your attitude is just great. And I think that's an example in a practical way, how we respond to these things, how that can make a difference in people's lives. And I think that was early. I realized that that I have an opportunity here to inspire others because of what I'm going through.
Yes. Yeah. Because for many, the greatest fear is the unknown. They don't know what to expect. They've never been through anything like this. And again, I thought that was one of the wonderful things about those last couple chapters where you described in great detail. And it just, again, it took me back. And it's like, yeah, I remember those times getting hooked up and Kathy receiving that treatment and all of the nurses, yeah, and everything that went on. To be able to provide that kind of detail for people, in a sense, I look at it as very reassuring, because now that drives out, you know, all the secrets, the dark places. Now, no, it's all out in the light. Now, here's what you can expect.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you got to go through this door, and you don't know what's on the other side of that door. And you start imagining the monsters and the terror and everything that's on the other side of that door. And I think Mike, this is great what you're telling me, because it's even helpful for me. One of the reasons why I was able to tell it in such detail was because Jeannie, my wife, is a phenomenal note taker. I mean, she doesn't go anywhere without her notebook and taking notes. And whether we were sitting down with my hematologist, Dr. Gertz, or whether we were with a nurse, or anytime the medical staff, whatever it was, technician spoke, she was writing. And so when I was writing this book, people did comment to me like, how did you remember all the details? And I go, oh, probably remembered a quarter of them. The rest came from notes from my wife. And you know, because sometimes I was really out of it. And I needed someone to remind me of what I went through, even if it was my doctor, my hematologist. That one time I just still remember, he was proposing that we do a stem cell transplant, and we were kind of, I don't know. And we went back a week later to talk to him. It was just a council meeting. And when we brought our youngest daughter with, who was in pharmacy school, and he started talking, and he rolled his chair over to our daughter, who was sitting right between us on the couch. And he said, "Shelby, let me tell you about your dad and what he's gone through." And he started describing in some of that detail. And I looked at Dr. Gertz and I said, "Oh, it hasn't been that bad." He looked at me and he says, "Oh yeah, it's been bad." He said, "I'm the doctor. I know." So, you know, the details are tough, but I would enjoy, if I was just diagnosed with a blood cancer, I would enjoy a book like this to at least get an idea of what someone who went before me had done, and the details and the treatments and that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also demonstrates the importance of having an advocate that can be there when, as you said, when you're not altogether there, you've been going through certain things, and
yep,
to have somebody,
I can't,
excuse me, somebody that can recall and say this on this day and this day, that is extremely important.
I can't imagine going through times like this without a strong advocate, caregiver by your side, and a strong faith in God. That just made this much more bearable than it would have been otherwise. So.
Yes. Yeah. Praise God for our spouses.
Yeah.
yes, wives in this case.
I think about this. If my wife was diagnosed with something terrible, would I be able to reciprocate? Now, I would imagine I would, but there'd be some learning involved on my part. And I'm just so grateful, for what I've gone through with her. So,
yeah. So we've touched briefly on a couple of these that we could emphasize again, but what are some of the major life lessons that you've learned through this, the recession and the business and then getting hit with this right after that? If you were to give a bullet point for a speech, what would a few of those be, Bill?
Well, I think I'd like to start by saying a sense of gratitude. Just that being grateful. Some people will say, grateful for what? And I go, there's always something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And you know what? Whether it's a business decline where physically things might be taken away from you that you just took for granted, they would always be there, or whether it's your health, whether it's your ability to get up, move around, or whatever, be grateful for what you got. And don't wait till things start to be taken away from you. Be grateful for them. Start each day as Zig Ziglar would say, with an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
And everything else, I think, is a lot easier when you start that way. Be grateful. Another thing is, these storms, for those that have not read the book, Restored by the Storm, I come out and say, hey, I was one of those lucky ones that was never going to go through a storm because I was in control. I had my life right the way I wanted it. And, even though I was told that everybody gets a chance, I just figured mine would not be that big a deal. But these storms come, and the storms, they will end. There's always going to be an end to the storms. And I think you have to understand that. We have to understand that maybe they don't end quite the way we want them to. We also have to understand that a lot of times it's going to be God's timing, not ours. But the storms will end. And the question is, are you willing to do what it takes to get to the end of the storm? In other words, quitting is an option. A lot of people say they fail that stuff. And I ask the question, did you really fail? Or did you get to that first hurdle and decide, I can't do this any longer, and you quit? When who knows, maybe just around that hurdle, success was sitting there waiting for you. And, sometimes you have to, sometimes instead of saying what's the worst that can happen, just you have to have that attitude, what's the best that can happen? Yeah. And do something each day to stride forward.
Yeah.
And that gets to another point that a lot of us just let life happen to us. We just get up in the morning, go through our day, go to bed at night, and wake up the next day, do the same thing. And life, we all have an expiration date. And we need to be better about living life on purpose. We've only got a limited amount of time to make a difference in this life.
Yes.
And I don't think you should wait until the end of your life to decide to do that. The time is now, regardless of your ability. And, you hear a lot of people, I'm guilty of it. Well, when I get this, then I will do that. Or when I have enough money, I will give more money. Or when I have a bigger house, I'll be able to have more children, or what, you know, whatever the point is that's not the way life works. You either decide you're going to do something and do it, or you're not, but be purposeful about it. Does that make sense?
It sure does. Yeah. I'm listening to you, Bill, and I'm thinking, well, you described me in one aspect, I think, as I look back on my life now, and Kathy and I are fond of saying we're in the autumn, we're in the fall of life now. The Lord may decide to extend that into the late winter, or he may decide your job is done and welcome us home. But I guess if I was to apply this to my own self, what you've said, my personality and characteristics is to manage my life in such a way that I drastically reduce the odds of a storm, of a major storm. But in our conversation and in your situation and in my wife's situation, that doesn't always work, because there are unexpected storms, and it doesn't matter how you've managed your life to minimize the potential of some things. There are just some things that are just beyond our control.
Yeah. Mike, I think you're right in that we have a responsibility to our Creator to manage our lives in such a way that give him honor and praise.
Yes.
In other words, take care of ourselves, or, you know, stay in shape, you know, eat right, you know, be smart about what you do, and, you know, don't take unnecessary risks per se. You know, all those things are great. And, you know, I was there. I mean, I was in control, like I said. And unfortunately, I was in control until I wasn't anymore. And it was like, what happened? You know, who pulled the rug out from under me and why? And, you know, so then I find myself telling God that, okay, all right, I've learned my lesson. I'm not immune to the storms of life. You've taught me well. Now get rid of it. I'm done with it. I've learned my, well, you know, the next lesson was, no, it's in my time, not, you know, it's in God's time, not mine. And he had more for me to learn, but all that was good. Because you in the book, I talk about the people that I've come in contact with over the course of this story.
Yes.
And there's no coincidence.
That's right.
I was and still am able to see the people that God has placed in my path during these times and realize they were there for a purpose.
Yes.
And I learned so much from them. And even the conversation when I was just agonizing with another businessman about, I just wish I knew how this was going to end. And he goes, well, you can determine the ending. And I go, how? And he said, quit. Just let your business fold up and give the land back to the banks and just quit. And I looked, I was on the phone with him. I said, that's when I said, quitting's not an option.
Amen.
And at that point, I realized every day I had to do something to take a step forward and try to get a best situation possible out of it.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And what a testimony that is, Bill, because talking about the Lord putting the right people in your life at just the right time. And we look at that from our perspective, rightfully so, from our perspective. But think about God working in all of these other people's lives to bring them to you because they needed to hear what you had to say. And that's just such a beautiful, marvelous picture of our loving God that is interested in even the smallest details.
Yes. Yeah, you bring up a very good point about the people I'm in touch with all the time, and the men that I meet with on Thursday mornings and in Zoom and other groups I belong to, and they just, we support each other. I don't consider myself an evangelist. What I consider myself is someone who God has given a bold voice to, and as people have told me, I certainly have a face made for radio, but I can use my voice and now my story and my love of doing that in front of others and give them encouragement, but more so even maybe drop that message to them that, the Lord is there. He wants to be with you too. And just open your heart to him. And so, I was accused in an interview. Well, not accused. I was asked in a radio interview with someone a few weeks ago, and she stopped me while I was talking. She said, "Bill, are you a preacher?" And I said, no, but I would like to think my book does the preaching. And that's just kind of the way I feel about Restored by the Storm. Yes. And when I hear someone is having trouble in life or a cancer diagnosis or a storm, those are the people I wrote the book for. And I don't even have if I know who they are or if I know them or if it's a friend of somebody, I just immediately sign a book, date it, and give it to them and say, "Here, you need to read this."
Yeah.
I mean, that's my mission right now, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good place to be because the Lord is using you, Bill. That's very, very clear. Friends, I've been speaking with author Bill Derrick, the book Restored by the Storm. And I love that title, by the way, Restored by the Storm. that says there's a lot of commentary right there just in the title, Restored by the Storm, Navigating Through Life's Unexpected Challenges. We all have things to learn. And what's that old saying that was popular back when we were kids, Bill? Because I'm just a couple of years older than you. The best teacher is the school of hard knocks, right?
That's right.
So, the life lessons that stay with us, endure through the times, are those that we experience through very difficult situations. And especially when you're a believer, when you love the Lord Jesus and you're trying to live your life in a way that honors him, he is wanting to pour into you these life lessons. And yes, it's for your edification and for your encouragement, but it's also so that you'll share with others along their life's journey.
Yeah, I wouldn't be speaking the way I'm speaking now about my faith, about my relationship with my God, and a lot of this without these storms. These storms have transformed me, and I'm, like I said earlier on, I'm at peace. Do I want to die right now? Probably not. I mean, I still have that survival instinct. It took me about 3 years of writing and getting things done to get this book out. I was telling somebody that perhaps in the back of my mind, I was so convinced that God kept me alive for a reason. I mean, I really believe that very strongly. And I was just hoping it was more than just to get the book published, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And maybe that's why it took so long to get it done, that I procrastinated. But it is difficult for a first-time author to get it done and then to know when it's done. But right now, I'm enjoying being able to spread the word and being able to have discussions with people like you, Mike, is why, part of the reason why I wrote the book. And I'm hoping that it'll be influential in other people's lives.
Amen. And I will agree with you in prayer for that outcome, Bill. So the book is available on your website, Bill?
On my website, wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookstore may or may not have it, depending on locality. But you can go to my website, and it'll basically tell you, go to wherever books are sold, or if you want, you can contact me through the website. Okay. So I've got some work to do on my website, but it's there. And certainly the information is there you need. And,
perfect. So. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Bill, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Wisconsin Christian News TV. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I'm trusting the Lord's going to use it to encourage his people.
I can't tell you how much fun this was, really, just to be having a great conversation about not only about my book, but what the Lord is doing in our lives.
Yes, amen. Well, friends, that's all we have for you today on this episode of WCN TV. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for posting this show on your social media platforms. We'll see you next time. God bless. Mm-hmm.